drawing cues, it's so much fun.
Hey, unfuckers, welcome into show notes. It is so good to be with you today. And I wish I was with 99. Hi, 99.
Hi.
We're not together, though.
No, unfortunately not.
She's playing Nurse 99 right now.
I'm across state lines in good old Vermont.
Yep, back on the lam after committing a series of rather horrific murders. She is on the lam and on her way to Canada, I believe, right?
I think I'm shooting for Alaska. I know, like, I just think they're not going to find me there.
Okay. I mean, there's parts of Canada where you could probably hide just as well.
Yeah,
And then it's a whole extradition thing as opposed to just going across state lines where we have jurisdiction. You know what I mean?
I know, but like, are they really going to come looking for me in Alaska? They don't even look for their own missing people in Alaska.
Also, did you see the movie where the kid like died on a school bus or something, got eaten by a bear, like whatever that movie was?
The Revenant?
Maybe that was The Revenant. What was the one with the kid on the school bus? I don't know. He dies out in the wilderness and into the wilderness or... I don't know.
Sounds like something that I wouldn't want to watch.
Yeah.
And I have not watched that.
Actually, truth be told, you are helping 101 convalesce. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah, she is injured. She had a boo-boo and an ouchie, and I kissed it and made it all better.
99 pushed her down a flight of stairs looking for the inheritance.
So it was wild. It was bananas that this is another stairs-related injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
and she said that she broke her ankle falling down the stairs, or not even. It was like two stairs. So it was just like a weird freak accident. And so they took her to the hospital. She was all looped up and they were like, did you hurt this leg before? And she was like, nah. They're like, it says in here that you were here for falling down the stairs a couple months ago. It's like, oh, yeah, that's something else. Because she went to urgent care because it was being a hypochondriac like me and was like, my leg hurts, because she got a little bruised in my fall. And so she thought that time that something was wrong, but now something is wrong. And clearly I said we should just stop going upstairs. Our family should avoid them at all costs.
I think actually that if 101 was under the age of 18, that somebody would have called Child Protective Services on you by now.
That's true. It is. I wasn't there for the fall, though, this fall. So I can't be held liable.
Okay.
Right. You know, I was You're actually
in her head,
at,
though. You're in her
I
head.
I was at a party and I got a call. You ever get one of those calls where you're like, why is this person calling me? And then you almost ignore it, but you pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It was like someone, my sister's old roommate called me and like, we're not phone friends. And I was like, hello, is everything okay? And the last thing you want to hear is like, your sister just fell and broke her leg or whatever she said to me. And I was like, I gotta go.
What degree of inebriation were you at the time?
It was very early on, so zero, but I went to like about a 7 because I was really sad. So I just kept drinking.
Okay. All right. That's a good way
to
go.
I think I deserved it. I was like, I'm going to emotionally have a few beers. Let some steam off because I knew I was going to come up here in a day or so. Flights, for some reason, were about $600.
Oh, goodness.
It's a 30-minute flight, so I drove.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but if I have to come back, I'm going to go home at some point. And then if I have to come back, I'm flying because drive just sucks ass.
I think the reason for that is we covered in the member-only newsletter is the JetBlue-Spirit merger was struck down. So now the airlines are just going to punish everybody by jacking up the prices. Maybe that's what happened.
I hope not, because this is usually like a $100 flight, and I don't really think I can continuously shell out $600 every time I want to visit.
No.
And I'm trying to be green. Go green by flying and not driving one car.
Right.
Does that count?
Yeah, sure.
It's public transport.
Sure. I mean, if you had an EV, maybe, right?
Unfortunately, the electric vehicle that my car manufacturer makes is about triple the price of my regular car. So
strange.
That's how they get you.
Strange how that is.
Anyway, that's my life corner.
Okay.
How are you?
You know, I'm dandy. Our day job is demanding right now. There's a lot of moving parts going on. So it's leaving precious time, not precious little time, but precious time. Every minute counts. Let's just say that. So with in that spirit, we should get after it here. And first start off by thanking those of you in the Unfucker member community who joined us on our very first monthly hang. It was just me, 99, and Manny Faces hanging out for the very first time in our little live stream. Only one hiccup in the beginning. I think we were trying to figure out how to get people to comment directly on the live stream while keeping it private. We didn't figure that out initially, but we will.
I do think I've figured it out since.
So. Really? Of course you did, because you're you. So hopefully that'll work flawlessly the next time. But it was actually a lot of fun to just hang out, and so many great familiar names that were weighing in. We had them actually commenting somewhere else, and we were reading them out and just having a grand old time. Some beers were cracked, I think whiskey on Manny's end. And it was really nice. So thank you to those of you that joined. We did send the notice out pretty late just because we were just, you know, kind of trying to get our poop in a group.
Because that's what we want to do, right? We all want our poop in a group.
But the next one we will plan out a little further in advance. And we've already secured our special guest for that one who will be coming just to talk to the Unfucking community. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And as far as what we have rolling out before we get into some listener feedback, what we have rolling out over the next little bit is going to be a little different than what we normally do format-wise. So you've got show notes right now. By now, you should have heard an introduction to the series that we're starting. The series might not be linear in that we might not have like part one through whatever in succession. It might be interrupted. One of the things that I'm writing right now, as a matter of fact, is on Project 2025 that was released by the Heritage Foundation. So right now I'm actually kind of ping-ponging back and forth between Project 2025 and the immigration story that we're doing. And then I woke up this morning and right there on my little YouTube feed was a recap of The Daily Show. I only get the Monday recaps now that Jon Stewart's on. And he fucking did my story that I'm doing for this weekend. I mean, talk about hive mind bullshit. And of course, the great Jon Stewart doing it puts a lot of pressure on. But what we have coming up is spotlight on New York City. So New York City has become sort of a focal point of the immigration debate as it relates to Democratic states. And so The Daily Show covered it because the Adams administration and the Hochul administration, you know, initially said when they started sending buses from Texas and Arizona, come one, come all, bring them all. And a year later, they're, you know, on the airwaves saying, please stop. Please stop coming to New York. We are all full up. So did a lot of great research and actually had a friend in the business who gave me chapter and verse on all the city agencies and a lot of the problems that have been and the challenges that this extraordinary migration has presented to New York City, numbers that actually blew my mind and I was quasi familiar with it. And of course, 99 are based in New York. So this is in our awareness. But the numbers were more staggering than I had even previously thought. So we've got a great interview and some research to back that up. So it's going to be kind of a combined, it's like a hybrid UNFTR episode that we're going to do on Spotlight New York in our series titled Over the Borderline. So all of these different things are coming. We have other immigration focused episodes that are coming out, mostly looking at the circumstances in other countries that are driving people to come here. So trying to figure out who people are, where they're coming from, the rationale for it, what the legal process is, what could be done right now by executive order, what's not being done, what the danger is of having a Trump administration or a Biden administration that overcorrects on the immigration problem and the dangers that that presents to families and asylum seekers. And then just, again, the general nature of immigration and why people try to come to this country, because the southern border is now being penetrated by groups from other continents. So 99. So we're on a video call. This 99, that's disgusting. Just stop.
Sorry.
It.
Sorry.
Don't be childish.
Okay. I did a circle and then I put my finger through the circle. Because you said
I said penetrating.
Couldn't it have used it like permeating? You know, like you're just setting me up.
Yes, I am. They're penetrating your border.
Your border is erect.
So that's what we're doing. And it's going to be great. It's a great learning journey. Lots of fun. But the Project 2025 thing is really pissing me off. And it's something that needs to be explored. So we'll talk more about that as well. With that said, let's get into some feedback. 99, why don't you kick us off with, oh, something from Dan G.
Yes. So Dan said, hello, Max 99 and Manny. It would be cool if maybe you could wish the UNFTR Facebook group and Bob Knudsen a happy anniversary. We will hit 2 years on March 14th. You're a few years. That's what I said. we will hit 2 years on March 14th. Woohoo! As us Gen Xers would say, it is totally radical to foster a growing community on social media focused on a worthwhile mission of unfucking this complicated but worthwhile republic. And we like to have some fun as well. Thank you for everything.
Well, happy anniversary, unfuckers at all. So, yes.
It's been 2 years.
I know, that's pretty incredible. So for those of you that are not part of that group, become part of it. All you have to do is just search for the group, go to UNFTR's page, and you'll see a link to it on the side. You can ask to join, or I think they just let you right in. And but if yep. you're a dick, then they kick you out.
Yep, that's the only rule. Don't be a dick.
Yep. So I think that Knudsen is the main administrator. Is Danji an administrator in there to let people in or out? Do we know?
I'm not sure. But again, you can just join. You don't have to be. It's not a prison. You don't right. have to be let in or out.
That's right.
Well, I guess, was it a prison to let people in? Or is it a prison if you can't get out?
I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. There are probably some people out there that are not on the Facebooks and are just like, hey, sounds really lovely. If you're not on Facebook, maybe this is the thing that gets you on after 30 years of Facebook being around. When was Facebook invented?
2004.
How do you know that off the top of your head?
I think everyone knows it.
Do they?
I think so.
So I was the last person to know, but now I know. So now we all know.
I think so.
Okay. So 2004.
I'll yell down and ask my sister, what year was Facebook founded? We'll see if she knows.
Okay.
I don't know if it was conceptualized, like what year, so I can't talk about like life before conception. But I think that it was 2004 and it was only open to college. And then it opened up to high school and I got my first Facebook in 2007.
Look at that.
It was too early because I wasn't even in high school, but that's just what we were doing. It was like,
you crazy kids.
Should we make a Facebook? Yeah. It was like, whoa, we have Facebook now.
It's so interesting. Like that the kids today, younger people today will, when they come into, I know this from my kids, when they come into the professional world, they'll start a LinkedIn. Interesting how LinkedIn was able to kind of bridge that gap because of careers and professional identity and all that kind of stuff. But if you are a younger person, you are just simply not making a Facebook page. You're on Instagram, so Meta has you, but you're just not making a Facebook page. It's just not going to happen. So interesting.
Which is good. I mean, I think we just used to dump so much content on Facebook. I mean, like just there used to be a point where photo albums were limited to 60 photos. So you would just make five, you know, it would be like Sleepaway Camp Part 5. And now you can just make unlimited albums. But we used to just dump, we'd take 100 photos. We'd go out where we'd take photo booth photos and or us in our bathing suits, like just wild shit and put it on Facebook. So yeah. I think not that the younger generations don't post on Instagram and Visco and TikTok and everything, but I feel like they post just quantity-wise, less. And that's a good improvement.
Mm. I put all my dick pics on Snapchat. Where do you put your nudes? Are you Visco? Is that where your nudes are?
No, I go back and forth. Sometimes I put them right in the comment on like Reddit.
Oh, sweet.
To see who finds it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, I'm putting it on Parler.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah.
That is so smart. Well, you do have that like real conservative archetype, you know, flavor to you, that the blonde curly hair and just
yeah,
a good
my
old,
American
just
flag
a
tattoo.
Good old shit kicking girl from
yeah
New York.
My Blue Lives Matter tramp stamp.
Yes.
There's gotta so be hot. Someone who has one.
I started taking like home nudes on VHS and mailing it to people. So,
or you can do the
going
thing
all the way back.
You could do the Seinfeld and get your pictures developed and have the nudes in there. And someone at, you know, CVS has to look at your nudes and probably takes a copy home.
Yeah.
Cause you know, that's what there was happened.
Like, oh yeah. There was like movies about that without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. You mean stuff films?
No, real actual movies. You ever see Red Dragon? The Hannibal Lecter, the Silence of the Lambs. What do you call that when the movie comes out before
prequel.
It? The prequel. Yeah, with Ed Norton.
I have not. I've never even heard of it.
It should be great because it's got Ralph Fiennes
should
in
it. Be?
And it's got
Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes. Thank you. It's got Ralph Fiennes and it has Anthony Hopkins playing Lecter in it, although he does look a little older than he does in the sequel, yeah. Whatever. But it's got Ed Norton. I mean, the cast is unbelievable. Philip Seymour Hoffman's in this movie. I mean, it is just an all-star cast. Harvey Keitel's in that movie. It's an all-star cast across the board and it just misses. It just, didn't nail it.
Do they have, like, go to CVS and steal nudes? Is that part of the plot?
That is part of the plot.
Okay, I was wondering where the connection was.
My bad.
But then, yeah. No, it's fine. I was just curious.
So I'm having some trouble with my old brain making connections lately because our day job is so busy because we don't have enough members so that you and I can just do this all the time, right?
Oof, the guilt.
Is that some guilt? Is that a little shade? I know.
Spicy. I like it.
But... it's very difficult to go from one thing to another, to another, to another when the thing that you're doing requires an intense amount of reflection and space and silence. And so, I find myself just sort of, I'm a little more frenetic lately and less thoughtful and I need to just slow it down a little. Just
you should play New York Times Connections.
I do.
You do?
I do every morning.
Why don't we ever talk about it?
It's only a recent thing. My wife and I have been doing it now for maybe 2 months.
I think I'm about the same.
Is that right?
Are you on the Wordle train again?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, wait, we need to be friends.
And Letterboxd. What? We can do this together?
Well, no, I get to look at your mini score.
Oh, I'll share it with you. I'll share my analytics.
Yeah, but they don't have leaderboards for everything else. I did not get Wordle today because...
I did.
Let me show you mine. It was pretty painful.
I know why.
Yeah.
I know why.
I mean,
because
we can talk
about it. There were several options.
Yeah.
To fill in the fourth letter.
Wait.
Right?
Yeah. So rude.
Oh. Was that today's?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got that in 4. Look at you, mushy. Oh, that was so cute.
And then it wasn't bunch or punch. It was hunch. Fucking hunch.
You know, I knew it was hunch because they like to repeat letters. That's how they fuck you. And
I know.
I was like,
they did.
I bet it's hunch and not punch.
And I was willing to try it. I was like, it's probably punch. Like, it just felt like it'd be more. And I was like, all right, it's probably bunch.
Yeah.
It was stupid hunch.
All right, let's move on. Hey, listen, I need to put it out there to Maria from Puerto Rico. I'd love her feedback. We haven't gotten her feedback yet. So I am specifically addressing this to our beloved. What?
Written in that she's kind of behind.
Oh, okay.
I think she wrote in recently. You should probably send her an email.
Okay. I will email her. I will endeavor to do that so that we can bring her in hopefully next week. Because we did the Puerto Rico statehood episode. And so far, the feelings toward it, at least expressed on YouTube, not that great. Interesting. And I can't wait to get more feedback on it. So anybody that has a dog in this fight, I'd love to hear your opinion on it. But John on YouTube said, please be aware that Puerto Rico's statehood movement is mostly a conservative movement. While its early history was composed of people of all strides, since the 1970s onwards, it's been a carrot on a stick movement a handful of elites used for the poor here in PR. To this day, it is still very much the wealthiest of Puerto Ricans, and by using the same strategy, the poorest under Estadidad para los Pobres, who actually want statehood. It is a very long history of being a reactionary stance that has actively been against independent/socialist movements and had banded with right-wing terrorist gangs, the FBI, and the CIA in an effort to suppress independence and left-leaning politics in PR. Great comment, John. And for those of you that are invested in this subject, I push back only slightly on George in that I know where he's coming from in this debate and the idea. And it's essentially independence is a pipe dream. It's never going to happen. The United States is never going to relinquish us. Also, it's been too long. There's too many of us that are stateside. There's too many families that have migrated to the United States. And those that are extremely proud of their U.S., of their Puerto Rican heritage, but also their U.S. nationality. And the only thing I can correlate to that is that look at the migrant crisis and the border crossings and how many people are still desirous of being affiliated with the United States. You know, we like to criticize ourselves. We're certainly chief among them. We're trying to unfuck this republic. Ergo, we think that this republic is fucked. But it's still an aspirational place for so many people. And there is a subset of the population among the Puerto Rican community that feels the same and feels tied to it. But just like our terrible history of colonial and neocolonial behavior and imperial behavior even before that in South America and Latin America, there is a hangover and these vestiges of imperialism that stay with us. And it's why I challenged him with the idea that, like, are you sure you want this partnership? Because it has been a terrible, one-sided, brutal relationship. Never not. I mean, it has been, we have behaved horribly. And when we talked about things like forced sterilizations or the fact that we blew apart the island of Vieques for years, testing bombs there, and it was like a throwaway land for us. And then even modern policy in restructuring their debt and taking them over with the Financial Control Board. Like, we have behaved terribly towards this, quote, territory. So one thing I wanted to tease out, at least from our perspective, is to say that it is not a territory, it's a colony. Call it what it is. And also, we have historically been a terrible partner there. As far as what's next, what should happen, I wanted to give space to George, to this movement, because as much insofar as it does represent a segment of the population there, it should be expressed. As a follow-up, I would love to talk to somebody like Rosa Clemente, who was interviewed on Newsbeat as an example, who has been one of the leading figures proposing independence and not statehood. And there's a very big difference between the two. Would they have the financial economic wherewithal to withstand a separation from the United States? Is that a frying pan into the fire situation to be actually an independent? Do they have enough natural resources to actually create a robust trade relationship with other nations that could actually facilitate economic development on the island that could be more holistic and socialistic? It's possible. I mean, Cuba at its height, if it wasn't so poor, you know, mismanaged and, you know, also did pretty well. But by the same token, its best years were when the Soviet Union was sole sourcing sugar from Cuba. And there's a long history of poor economic policies, just like we saw in Venezuela, when you have territories that have a single or lack a robust export baseline. So it's hard to say that I'd love to see some economic analyses that says, yes, it's a standalone nation. This is how it would be different from Cuba or different from Dominican or different from Haiti, because even though it's one of the fastest growing areas in Puerto Rico, tourism and hospitality is one of the lowest GDP points that they have. So some people might assume that, oh, it's okay, they can just get in the travel and tourism and hospitality business, and maybe they can export rum and they can export sugar, or maybe there's some other crops there that they could become a viable trade partner for other nations. Do they? I don't know that to be true. In that case, statehood is probably a net benefit from an economic standpoint, because it would take them out from under basically this very precarious relationship and one-sided relationship that they have with the United States as a territory. On the other hand, if they could actually stand on their own as an independent nation and have an economically viable economy, well, then it is up to the people of Puerto Rico to make that decision. And I think that's ultimately like the last line of the story here, is that whatever the path forward is, we should understand what statehood pretends. We should understand what independence pretends, but we can't leave them in this sort of limbo forever. And we should leave it to the people of Puerto Rico. And as Jose M. said, Puerto Rico is not ready for statehood. That was another comment that we had there. Anyway. So that is a couple of pieces of feedback that we got on the episode on Puerto Rico statehood. Why don't we go over to Jeff B., who is responding to our episode with Brianna Joy Gray.
Jeff B. said, as an activist who's been fighting for single-payer healthcare for decades, I really find that Brianna and a good number of the online left are frustrating. And in many ways, they are detrimental because of their naivete. They see politics as nothing more than theater, and they reduce all policy to poll questions. And the fact that she still brings up force the vote and claim that the only reason anyone opposed it was because people didn't like Jimmy Dore is gaslighting and pretty bad faith. The opposition to it is based on the fact that it would have failed and it would have accomplished nothing. The idea that just because a plurality of poll participants said sure to a poll question somehow means that those same voters make that issue they base their vote on is ridiculous.
So I do want to make clear that I think what Brianna was forced the vote was with respect to the $15 minimum wage, not Medicare for all. Her feelings around Medicare for all is that it is basically that the entire Democratic establishment and the Republicans for that matter, but the Democratic establishment who supposedly are the ones that would champion something like this are bought and paid for by the healthcare industry because they won't even bring it to the table. And they know that based on polling data that it performs really well and that if it was a standalone issue and we had a policy document and a process for it and some time to implement it, that it exists. It is what it is. I mean, Medicare could just simply be extended to everybody. The infrastructure is kind of there. You would need an on-ramp and you would need to determine what you do with reimbursements and the schedules would have to change. There's a million technical moving parts to it. And I don't think that she was suggesting that we could have suddenly, with the stroke of a pen in one of the omnibus bills, included Medicare for all or, you know, single payer. But $15 minimum wage was part of the initial deal, was taken off of the table, and then they promised to put it back in. And when they split up those bills, and then of course they broke their promise. Everybody saw that coming. And her point is that, you know, it, not only did they see it coming, we now know for a fact that they saw it coming because they were talking about it internally. And that's the leaked documents, that what the leaked documents showed. Now, when it comes down to political naivete. So policy and politics are different, and you need good politics to get good policy, and bad politics gives you bad policy all the time. The good politics is when you have a head of a movement like Bernie and a coalition and a broad coalition behind somebody like that, ready to implement in states, in local municipalities and think tanks, and they've contemplated all of the different moving parts where the money is along the way. And it takes a long time to get there in order to really take over really bad policy. It also takes kind of a quasi collapse of the thing that you're trying to replace, because when something has become institutionalized and people are dependent upon that system and they're just propping up a system because their livelihood is tethered to it, you can't just suddenly come in and replace. That's why the Republicans couldn't even replace the ACA. Remember, that was the promise when Trump came into office. He's going to have a big, beautiful plan, a very beautiful, he's going to have the best health is going to be, we're all going to have health. And then nothing. The Republicans, they could have run the table with it. They could have gotten rid of the ACA. Remember how many times they voted to get rid of it beforehand when they didn't have control of both chambers? And then the minute that they had the opportunity to do it, they realize there's nothing to replace this with because you can't just do that. Well, the same thing goes on the other side. It is unbridled optimism to think that we could simply replace something like the healthcare system we have right now without laying the groundwork for literally a decade and everybody moving in the same direction and pulling the oars in the same direction at the same time. That's how long it takes to overhaul a system as massive as that. Because again, it's not just like, just give everybody Medicare. The hospitals, the reimbursements, the insurance companies, the plans, all the people that work for these different places, like there's a process to this. There is legitimately. And I feel like it is very easy for the pundit class to just say stuff and to be mad when things don't happen. And it's why I put out that video saying, you know, just like hands off AOC right now. Like the more animus you pour towards a single individual, the less we're going to accomplish because we're losing the plot here. And that the coalitions the organizing entities, the budgetary considerations, the activist groups, the hospitals themselves, the associations, all of these different players have to come to the table to do it. Remember, the ACA was started under Clinton. It was Hillary Clinton's original fucking plan, right? It was implemented by none other than Mitt Romney in Massachusetts, like 10 years after that. And then 10 years after that, we finally got the ACA, and nobody wanted this corporate bullshit to begin with. The point is that the corporations and the insurance companies and the AMA and the doctors and everybody who eats from that system laid the groundwork in the 90s to ultimately get the ACA in the 2000s, the mid-2000s, no less. So if you want Medicare for all and you want single payer, it's not enough to just scream from the left, and it's not enough to just have a candidate at the top of the ticket that thinks it's a lovely idea, because we all have to collectively be in on it. And of course, the politicians that live in the districts where, you know, like we live in an area downstate in New York where, I don't know, what is it, 18-20% of the population works for the hospital systems and the healthcare system industry that we have here? I mean, literally. That is, you, what happens to all those people? Their right to be fearful of what comes next. What happens to the insurance companies and the brokers and all of the things that surround this system if it just suddenly disappears, right? So there's always hard work ahead of you. I understand that the pundit class boils it down to the simplest thing and says, just do better, and the yells, you know, from the bleachers. But on the ground, there's a lot more to do. Bottom line, though, Jeff, and anybody who's critical of the online left and the online left who's critical of the middle of the road, who's just trying to get some policy through the sausage factory, we all have to kind of at least have the same vision in mind. So we don't have to agree necessarily on how we get there, but we have to agree on the end game. And that's where I think we can start to find some common ground. And just a couple of more, you know, we have to close out a little bit early today, but we just a couple more quick comments. Simon B said, loving Max being challenged from the left, also loving that he's here for it. Great interview. Reboot the system. Commenting, of course, on Brianna making me pee a little bit in my pants when she turned the tables on me, which I was halfway prepared for. And she just does it with her own inimitable style. And I loved every second of it. Steve S. said, I really appreciate the interview with Brianna. Feel like you are having the debate that's been going on in my head. Will Watkins.
I'm flawless. Rude. I'm flawless. Rude. Say hit in your office. I suffer great losses.
Had a very nice post, said, I'll keep this brief. One of the things I found most frustrating about Gray's positions was that her outlook and arguments are so clear-eyed, but the problems pointed out require systemic change. So Will Watkins saying more concisely and to the point, and eloquently than I was trying to say before, that this shit's hard. It really is. So thank you, everybody, for the feedback. It seems like people really enjoyed the discussion with Brianna. I did as well, and hopefully we can have her back on the show. It's really nice to kind of jump into the mix here with people like Francesca and Ben Burgess and Nathan, and you know, certainly getting Brianna into the mix was a big goal. We got others on the list that we can't wait to talk to and bring into the unfucking fold. So, you know, with your support and your help, we'll keep cranking them out and keep bringing new people to the fold. Your support, by the way, we have to thank the following people.
Paul E., Kat Brannigan, Alyssa B., Kurt, Maria from PR, Aaron H., Craig H., Kristen Cat Party, Aaron D., BB Teach, Brie X., Todd J., Justin M., Atit, and another Derek R.
Is that our third?
I don't know. I think there's like 18 of them. There's a coalition of Derek R's.
I dig it. And
you guys have to do Derek Worse, Derek Reckon, Derek Word.
Who are these people, 99? These are people that have come over to the new membership system?
These are a mixture of people who, yes, who are new members and net new members and new old members. So if you'll remember... Oh, see, get it? Because the word members and remember. There are remembers. Whoa.
See what you did there.
But yeah, we moved our membership system over from buymeacoffee.com. And if you were a member there or you like to tip us, you can still do that at unftr.com/memberships. Your support funds us and it jazzes us and keeps us going and helps us pay for the equipment. You know, I have to pick up and take my road mic, not R-O-D-E mic, my R-O-A-D mic with me. So, you know, all of that money helps fund our equipment and keeps me sane, as I'm clearly not right now. I'm so tired. But I think I heard your phone vibrate in the microphone.
No, that was me going,
No, your phone vibrated.
I don't have my phone with me.
What the hell was that? The table vibrated. Did you fart?
I did. Maybe there's something vibrating on your side, and I'll leave it at that.
Ew, yucky.
What?
I'm currently sitting on a bed. There is no surface to vibrate upon.
You should just stop.
You're making it gross.
Okay.
You're making it gross.
All right.
Max farted. That's just,
we're
all human.
Nothing of the sort.
Maybe you kicked the table.
I farted so loud and long the other night that my family almost wanted to take me to the hospital. They're like, what is wrong with you? And I had been holding it in for a while. And you know what I think it was? It was the day after we had that fucking halal. I made like tuba noises that I haven't heard in a long time.
You don't seem like a farter. Like, I don't look at you and be like, that dude farts.
No, thank you.
No, it just, thanks. You know, some people like they look like they fart, but you just, I don't know. You don't seem like a farter.
You seem like a pooter.
Oh, thank you. You're supposed to tell me, no, I don't fart, because women, you know, the rules.
Oh, I you're human, but I don't think you would ever fart, but I can see you every once in a while having an adorable little poot.
Like my sneeze?
Yeah, your sneeze is pretty cute, I gotta say.
People accuse me of faking it, but I would never. If I have to sneeze, that's actually a good, because I have like a kind of like a choo, like a tiny one, and then when I'm sick and it goes like, oh, I'm like, oh, fuck, that was bad. That's usually like my good warning sign that something's happening. So it's actually, it's a survival skill.
My brother has one of those sneezes.
Oh.
Just keeping it all in.
That's like really bad for you, apparently.
I think so. He's an angry guy. No, definitely not. As a matter of fact, you know what he did? And then we'll close on this because we got to go. But you know what he fucking did to me when I was little? You got the glass shelf in your house, right? This is where you keep your cups. All your glasses are here.
It was like a shelf made of glass.
No. So a shelf for all your glasses, right? I was going to go get something. He's like, oh, let me get it for you. He takes a cup out, right? Pulls his pants down. He farts in the cup and then he puts it in and he mixes it in with the rest of them. He's like, ha, 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 and he walks out of the room. I'm like, I didn't drink from that pattern ever again.
I don't blame you.
I know. That's the kind of shit he used to do.
I think that can give you like hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Probably.
That's what it's from.
Fart lip disease.
No, what kids get like in the swimming pool.
That's the other thing too. He'd fart and I'd be like, that's gross. He'd be like, it's your upper lip. And then I'd be walking around going like, it's not my upper lip. My upper lip doesn't smell.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a lot older than me, so.
I don't understand that.
He also did the, like, pin me down, like, let spit fall on my forehead kind of stuff. I know.
No.
Why do you think I'm so troubled?
One time I bit her, but that was it.
And now look,
pretty young.
And now you're pushing her downstairs.
Yeah, it's just, it hasn't ended.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have a brother.
Well, listen, I miss you. I don't know when I'll see you again, but I hope.
Probably never.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I live here now.
Well, this has been great.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, unfuckers, we'll catch you in, you should have heard the intro by now. We're going to catch you in show notes, and then we'll catch you in the episode this weekend. This is show notes. And then, you got the newsletter
coming out Friday.
Why
will they have heard the intro by now?
Isn't it
coming out on Saturday?
No. The interview is coming out Saturday. The intro to the series, it's a short intro. It's hopefully dropping before show notes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how this all goes.
Okay.
All right. Either way, thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.